Today's Shir's Masechta, Gittin Daf Tezvah. We will begin on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, the third wide line. At the end of our previous Shir, the Gemara had quoted a lengthy Braisa. The Braisa said when somebody instructed somebody to bring a certain amount of money to an individual, and then he discovered that individual was no longer alive. The Braisa spoke about that everybody agrees that it should be returned to the person who sent it. But then the Braisa quoted many different opinions about what happens if the person who sent it also was no longer alive. So the Rav Nosson and Rav Yaakov said it should be given to the Yarshim who sent it. The Yesh Ayman said it should be given to the Yarshim of to whom it was sent. And Rehuda and Nossi said, Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis, and therefore it should be given to the Yarshim of the person who received it. Chachamim, Oimrim, the Chachamim hold Yachloiku, the money should be divided between the two parties. The Kan Amru, and above all they said, the Shlich should make a decision. And the Gemara wanted to suggest that the Bachloikus here was how we look at Hoylech Kischi. Says the Gemara Loi, that's not the way to explain the machlokes in that braisa is the about hoylech kischi. Rather, bepari, when the person who sent the money was healthy, says the maradol kula amloi pligi, that everybody would agree that just because I asked somebody to take the money on my behalf doesn't mean it becomes the person to whom we sent its money. Here we're speaking about that the person who had sent the money was a shchimera, and the machlaikis, the beplukter of Elazar Rabban Kamilfki, the machlaikis is a machlaikis that we find that Elazar and Rabban disagree regarding matana shchimera. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta of Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amin Aleph teaches us hamachalik nosen mechosva piv. He divided his estate not according to the way the Torah gives us very clear guidelines how an estate should be divided. This person decided to divide his assets in the way he so decided. Rather, whether the person who made this decision was in a healthy state when he made this decision, or whether he was a shchimera, nechosim sheish lem nechrayis, property, real estate, he doesn't subscribe to this concept that we often discuss of divrei shchimera keksurim kemesurim dami. He doesn't subscribe to the fact that this person was if he was a shchimera, there's no need to do a kinyan. He says, of course, a kinyan is required, and therefore, if it's nechosim sheish lehem achrayis, which always means real estate, the way they should be divided, the way the transaction can be considered a valid transaction is with a kinyan, a bekesef, b'shtar b'chazaka, which are the ways property can be transferred. And if it's ein l'machrayis, if it's metatlin, niknin el b'mashicha, we have to do mashicha, which is of course the way you do a kinyan on metatlin. The Chacham disagree. He says, "Be'elu ve'elu, if this was an instruction given by a shchimera, niknan be'amira, because they subscribe to the concept which we often discuss of divrei shchimera kiksuvim mesurim dami. And if somebody is a shchimera, he doesn't have to have a kinyan; just his directive is enough to be fulfilled." Amaloi. So Chacham say to Rabbi Lazar, "V'maisa be'imin shel Rachel, there was a story with the mother of the Bnei Rachel, shehaisa chayla, that she was unfortunately ill, v'amra, and she gave the following directive to Nosna b'Nosi. She had an expensive pin, and she said, 'I want this pin to be given labiti to my daughter, v'hi b'shnei masr mana, and it was very expensive; it was worth 12 mana.'" Umesa, and she then passed away. Kaim Chachamas Devarel followed her instructions and they gave it to her daughter. Even though the point of the Gemara is that the daughter is not a Yairish, Midaraisa, daughter doesn't inherit a parent, only sons inherit parents. Here, because that was the instruction that the mother had given, and that's why the Chachamim recognized that that directive. Amalem. So isn't this clearly an indication, say the Chacham Terebi Elazar, the Divrei Shchimara, Kiksuvim Kimsurim Dami. Amalem, to which Rebbe Elazar said to Chachamim, Bnei Rachel, you want to bring a raya from the Bnei Rachel, Tigbrim Emim. They should die, the mother should bury them. They should die before the time. And what he meant to say was, one cannot bring a halachic proof from anything that they were participating, because they were people that did not follow the halacha. Where do we find that there were people that did not follow the halacha? Because they violated the Issachlaim, and therefore Chachamim do not want to mention them. And therefore, all the details of any story and any halachic issue cannot be brought from them, because they were not people who were careful to follow the halacha. But what do we see here? That we do have a machloikus between the Chachamim and Rebbe Elazar how to treat Divrei Shchimara. Because whether we bring a proof from the story or whether we don't bring a proof from the story, one thing is quite obvious, that the Rabbanan's opinion is that Divrei Shchimara kiksuvim kamasurim dami. And that's the machloikus between Rebbe Elazar and the Rabbanan. Given this background, the Gemara now is able to explain the different opinions and the braisa that we quoted at the beginning of our shiur. The braisa said that if the mishaleach, if the person who gave this instruction is still alive, it should go back to him, holds like Rebbe Elazar, because there was no kinyan here, because he doesn't hold of Divrei Shchimara Kiksuvim Kamasurim Dami, therefore it should be given back to the person who sent it. He never properly transferred it. Rav Nosson, Rav Yaakov, Nami, also hold of Rebbe Elazar, and therefore they say, Afagav the Miss, even though the person who sent it passed away, so that is another factor to take in consideration, and that is the factor of Mitzvah Kayim Divrei Meis. But they don't consider, because as we learned, the Mishaleich passed away, they don't subscribe to the concept of Mitzvah Kayim Divrei Meis. The Yesh Omrim that say it should be given to the Yorshim of the individual to whom it was sent, hold like the Rabbanan, Divrei Shchimara Kiksuvim Kamasurim Dami, and therefore it became the property to whom it was sent, and therefore if he passed away, then it becomes his Yashim's property. Rabbi Yehuda Nasa Shomer Meir that they subscribe to the concept of Mitzvah Kayim Demes, Rebbe Elazar, they hold like Rebbe Elazar, the Divrei Shchimara Einam Kiksuvim Kamasurim Dami, Divrei Shchimara do not affect in a kinyan. However, there's a new concept that they follow. Miu hecha demis, since the person who had sent, and therefore if the person who had sent the money was still alive, we would return it to him. But because he passed away, there's another consideration. They hold of the concept, amina mitzvah kaim devrei meis, and it was clear that that was what he wanted, that it should go to the Mishaleach, and there it should go to the Mishaleach, because the fact that they connected that the Mishaleach, Rashi explains, passed away, is obvious that that is what they consider important. The Chum Raimrim, the Chum said, Yechloiku, we should divide it, because Mesapkalu, do we say, they're not sure if we say Divrei Shchimara Ksum Sumadami or not. And therefore, because they're not quite confident what to do, Kan Amru, and therefore, because they're not sure, they should say, Shuda Adif. The Shliach should determine what he understood would be the desire of the Mishaleich. That's the way Rashi learns. Others say it becomes the obligation of Bezdin to make this decision. Rav Shimon Hanasi really holds like Rav Nosson and Rav Yaakov, and all he wants to take us, tell us Maisos Lishminin, to tell us that Rav Nosson and Rav Yaakov, that the opinion of Rav Nosson and Rav Yaakov was actually once followed La Loch Lamaisa. So ask the Gemara, Boilu, Rav Shimon Hanasi, when Rav Shimon Hanasi was quoted in the Braisa, ask the Gemara, Nasi who? Was he the Nasi? Or Mishmei the Nasi Kamar? Or what he was saying wasn't him as a Nasi saying the opinion. He was just saying what was the Nasi's opinion. Toshma. So the Gemara wants to bring a Raya. The Amar of Yosef Aloch Rav Shimon Hanasi. And the way Rashi explains, when a Tana says something, it's not unusual that there should be some ambiguity around what he says. But when a Moira says something, there's no room for ambiguity. So if Rav Yosef says Rav Shimon Hanasi, that's clear. The Gemara wants to say that Rav Shimon was saying it as Rav Shimon Hanasi. The Taya de Boiloch says that even though Amaroyim are not a clearer in what they say, says the Gemara, it's still not sure how to learn what's going on here. Was he Nasi he? Was he saying it as a Nasi? Or the Kamish made a Nasi? It's even the Rabbi Yosef said this, and from the wording that he says, it seems that he meant to say that Rav Shimon was a Nasi, but as Tosfos points out, Devarei HaMaskol Oy, maybe he was just repeating what he learned in the Braisa. And even though typically Amoraim try to be more clear than Tanoim, but that isn't something that could be done in a case where he's just quoting. Since he's quoting what he heard, maybe that's why, since he's quoting what he heard, he has to paskins the way he heard. He repeats it the way he heard. But now we don't have any clarity exactly what he holds. Gufa, says the Gemara, that Rav Yosef says the halacha follows Rav Shimon Hanasi, that the money, if we discover the person to whom the money was sent passed away, the money should be returned to the person who sent it, says the Gemara, Gufa Rav Yosef, halacha Rav Shimon Hanasi. But ask the Gemara, for Kaimelon, we do paskin throughout Shas, the Divrei Shchemer HaKiksuvim K'mesurim Dami. So if the Meshaleach, if the person who sent the money was a Shchemera, the halacha should be that it should become the property, so there's no need for a Kinyan, and should become the property of to whom it was sent. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Mukila, Rabbi Yosef will explain that we're speaking about a Bari. And since he's explaining that we're speaking about a Bari, and there was no Kinyan, therefore, we don't have the concept of Divrei Shchemer HaKiksuvim K'mesurim Dami applicable, says the Gemara. But even if we'll say that he was a Bari, he was a healthy person, and therefore we shouldn't apply here Divrei Shchemer HaKiksuvim K'mesurim Dami, but ask the Gemara v'hol Yarsh Meshaleach Kamar. He said it should go back to the Meshaleach. That means if the Meshaleach passed away, so even if we won't say that this is a case of Divrei Shchemer, but isn't there, ought this not to be a case that Kaimel and Mitzel Kaim Divrei Meis? Says the Gemara, indeed. Matani, Rabbi Shimon says, Yachshul Meshaleach. Rabbi Shimon was speaking about a case where the Meshaleach was not dead. And since the Meshaleach was not dead, this is not a case of Mitzel Kaim Divrei Meis. So what we clearly see in the Gemara is Divrei Shchemer K'Ksuvim Mesurim Dami. So the Rishonim ask a question. In our share today, we found a debate between Chacham and Rabbi Lazar. Do we say Divrei Shchemer K'Ksuvim K'Mesurim Dami, or do we not? But the question is, why is that a relevant discussion if there's anyway a rule, which our Gemara seems to be saying at the end of this piece of Gemara, that we always say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis? So Rebbeinu Tam says that the halacha Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis only applies if the person who was giving this instruction was not holding on to the property that he wanted to give away. But let's say Reuven was holding on to a property, and we want to use the concept of mitzvah kaim divrei ames. Says Rabbeinu Tam, we cannot use the concept of mitzvah kaim divrei ames unless the mace had taken that property or that object out of his possession. But if we were still holding on to it, then we don't say mitzvah kaim divrei ames. However, to apply the concept of divrei shchimer akiksuv mesurim dami, that is applicable even if he was still holding on to it. Rabbeinu Tam also goes on to say that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is connected to Hilchos Yerusha. And let's say there's a ger who has no relatives, and therefore to him there is no halacha of Yerusha. So therefore, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames would not be applicable to him. Divrei shchimera would be applicable to him. The Ramban disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam, and he says that the concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is applicable even to property that the mace had in his possession, and still we could say mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. Says, so according to Ramban, we're back to our question, why do we have to say divrei shchimer akiksuvim kumsumer dami if we have a concept of the mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames? So he says there's a difference how it's expressed. If it's expressed as a command, give this to somebody, that's when we say mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. But if it was expressed as a legal transfer, as a legal transaction, then we have to rely on the concept of divrei shchimera k'suvim asumim dami. Tosfos on daf yud aleph amud beis, divrei maskil habashchiv mera, gives a different definition between, and he says like this: if a healthy person who ultimately dies, makes an instruction, so then the halacha is that if the person who's supposed to get it as because of mitzvah kaim divrei ames dies before the person who gave this instruction, so since he wasn't alive when the person made the instruction of mitzvah kaim divrei ames, he wouldn't get it. It wouldn't go to his yarshim. Divrei shchimera is a much stronger transaction. And because divrei shchimera is a much stronger transaction, not only would it go to the person who was supposed to receive it, but it would go to his yarshim as well. The Rambam says in Perek Vav Hilchos Nachlas Halacha Yigimel, Tziva Chachamim, the Chazal taught us, Shana Adam Benoy Ben Abonim, a parent should not treat one child different than other children, B'chayev Afil Dover Mu'at, while the parent is alive, even in the smallest way, says the Rambam, a parent should avoid doing so. Shloyov L'day Takas V'kino, we don't want to have competition, says the Rambam, amongst the children. Ka'achi Yosef V'yosef, says the Rambam, like we find with the brothers of Yosef with Yosef. So the question is, why is the Rambam saying that a parent should avoid creating that type of an environment only when the children are alive? And what about only as long as he's alive? And why not after he dies? So the Torah Tamima says that since there's a rule of mitzvah kaim divrei ames, as we're learning now, so if children know that they have to fulfill what the parents' wish was, they won't get into a fight. But mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames only is applicable to a person who dies, not applicable to a person who's alive. Why? So the Marav Shemesh says that a person close to his time of his death, obviously whatever he's doing with a seriousness, and he's doing it l'shem shemayim. So the children recognize that their parent knew what he was doing, and therefore they won't be jealous and won't fight. But if he did it while he was alive, there isn't that attitude, and therefore the Rambam says avoid something that should cause rift between the children. The Pasuk says, when Yosef brings his children to be have a bracha from Yaakov Avinu, the pasuk says, "V'yischazik Yisrael v'yeshev alamita." So the question is, why did Yaakov have to strengthen himself? He was sick; let him lay. But what Yaakov Avinu was trying to accomplish was that we just learned in our Gemara that this concept of divrei shchimera k'ksuvim k'msurim dami is actually a machlokes. So if Yaakov was, if it's effective, if Yaakov was laying in bed, people would assume that it was only that it was a matana shchimera. And we're learning now that there's a question if matana shchimera is a valid transaction. But if Yaakov Avinu laid up in bed, once Yaakov Avinu sat up in bed, so it was a matana spari. If it was a matana spari, then there's no question that it was fine. The Sadegei Rebbe of 100 years ago wrote a tzavah. And as he wrote his tzavah, and he divided his assets amongst his children, at the end of the tzavah he writes, "V'hinini muftach, I am confident b'tzitkas b'nei shlita, that my children will do as I want, b'tzitkas b'nei shlita kiyas ritzoni, and he'll do what I want, they'll do what I want, b'li shim shinui, without any deviation, k'chofetz avichem." So, after he passed away, the children, of course, agreed to do what the father had written in his tzavah, but the question was that, are they obligated to do so because the halacha so obligates them, because of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis, or they were doing lefnim meshuras hadin? Why would they think that it's a lefnim meshuras hadin? So the Shas HaTshuvos, Shoyle Meshiv, Madura Tanyana Simen Ein Ches says, because we go back to what Rabbeinu Tam just said, that Rabbeinu Tam says we only apply the concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis when what the person who passed away wanted to give away was already no longer in his possession. Here, it was in his possession. So we don't have here a concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. On the other hand, the Masham and the Shaila HaTshuvos Chelek Beis Simen Reish Chof Dalet says, the why does Rabbeinu Tam require that the assets to be applicable to halacha of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis require it? He says, because that shows a seriousness. But he says, if we follow, as we just read, the words of the tzavah of the Rebbe, where he said that I'm certain that you're going to do it, this is what I wanted. So then even Rabbeinu Tam suggests the Masham will not require that that to apply mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis, then it should not be in his possession, right? It should be someone else. Which has, this psak of the Masham has very serious halachic ramifications. Because if somebody wrote a will, and the will wasn't written in a halachically prescribed manner, so Hilchos Yerusha cannot be applied. Because Hilchos Yerusha are the way the Torah taught us Hilchos Yerusha should be applied. But if we're learning now in our sugya that there's a new consideration, and that's the consideration of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis, the fact that it was done properly with a lawyer, etc., that should clearly be an indication that that was what the father wanted, the parent wanted, and therefore maybe there would be a rule of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. The Shaila HaTshuvos Shvus Yaakov, Chelek Aleph, Simakuf Samaches, discusses a similar question where there was a woman who was unfortunately very ill, and she wanted that any disputes that should come up amongst the children should be adjudicated in front of a certain person, and that person was an Amoritz. And now one of the children says, we want to divide, I'm prepared to divide the Yerusha, but I don't want that it should be adjudicated that through this person who I consider an Amoritz. But on the other hand, We're learning the concept here of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. What complicated the issue was that each child had made a kinyan, had shaken hands with their mother, that they would do that. And therefore, the question is, maybe they have to do what the mother wanted because of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. That, so the Shas HaTshuvos, Yehuda Yala, Chelek Beis Evan Ezra Simen Mem Dalad, speaks about this question. And he says, we find that when Yaakov Avinu gave instructions to his children, he said to Yosef, Hishavali. Why did he say Hishavali? Was he concerned that Yosef would not do that, what his father said? So why do you have to make him swear? The answer is that the point is that just because mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, it wouldn't have been enough. But the fact that he swore obligated him. If that's the case, here too, the fact, says the Yehuda Yala, that they gave the mother a tekiyas kaf, that they would do what she wanted, means that they have to do what she wanted, even though there's a machloikus here. There's, as we're saying, that even though there's a mitzvah of l'kayim divrei hames, still all the paiskim say that there is no chiv a mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames if what the mace had said was against the halacha. We never apply the concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames if it violates a halacha. The Shas HaTshuvos Shevet Alevi Chelek Yud Simen Reish Ein Zayin discusses the following question. It says, there was a person who wrote out a number of checks for tzedakah, and he passed away before the checks were cashed. And the question is, do the Yarshim have to honor those checks? The secular law is, he says, that the moment the person passes away, all his checks become null and void. But on the other hand, as Rav Ozner points out, we have here, since the father had written the checks, is it a case of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames? So he makes the following distinction. He says, if the date of the check was before the father passed away, so there would be a concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. The father had written the check with a date before he passed away. It's clear that that was what he wanted, and they have to honor those checks. However, if the date of the checks were for a date after he passed away, since the father had never given direction to his children to give that money, so there's no issue here of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. So therefore, they're not and according to the law, they're not obligated to honor those checks. So there's no mitzvah of l'kayim divrei hames. However, says Rav Ozner, midas chassidus, it's clearly that the right thing to do is honor those checks. Even the date is a date after the father passed away. It's clear that's what the father want, and that would be a big schus for the neshama of the father. Harun lachem evi kama, harun lachem evi kama, harun lachem evi kama. Says the Mishnah, maybe get from Medina Sayyam, if somebody brings a get from Chutz Laaretz, that's Yisrael. Varma b'fari nechtav, and the shliach said b'fari nechtav, however, avaloi b'fari nechtam. He did not say b'fari nechtam. Or he said b'fari nechtam, avaloi b'fari nechtam. Or he said b'fari nechtav, kuloi b'fari nechtam chetzyoi. He only is able to testify that he saw one of the two Edom sign. Or, he said, b'fari nechtav, he saw part of the get written in front of him, but b'fari nechtam kulam, he saw the entire signing of the get. And all of these cases, possible. The Parsha Peshat in the Mishnah is, since this shliach deviated from what the halacha tells us, that the shliach has to say a complete sentence of a funny nechtam, anything other than saying what the halacha required him to say will anything different will disqualify the get. Says the Mishnah further, Echer Amar, if two people brought the get, Echer Amar b'fani nechtam, one said b'fani nechtam, v'achen Amar b'fani nechtam, and one said b'fani nechtam, the get will be possible. Why? So according to Rabbah, that says that the reason for b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, is because of Lishma, because we have to have the Shliach say on both. And here he only said of one. And according to Rava, the halacha will be that two people that bring a get from overseas don't have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. Because according to Rava, the entire reason for saying b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, as we've learned, is that we should have a way to certify the get if there's any issue with the get. Here, we don't have that consideration. We don't have that consideration because we have two people. But the way Rav is going to explain the Mishnah is speaking about only one of these two people are a shliach. And the halach is that when one shliach brings a get, he has to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, and if he didn't, the get is possible. Says the Mishnah, if three people brought the get, shnayim amru b'fani nechtav, two of them said b'fani nechtam, v'achar amru b'fani nechtam, the get is possible according to Tanakama, Rav Yehuda Machshir. What is the machlokes? According to Rebbe, the Mishnah is speaking about a time where they already knew in Medina Siyom the halacha l'shma. But the Tanakama is of the opinion that the halacha that you have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam remains in place, as we learned earlier, Shemi Yachsadav L'Kakulai. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, since it's uncommon that two people should bring the Shlicham to bring a get, Chazal weren't concerned in a place where it's not common for Shemi Yachsadav L'Kakulai. So, in this case, if only one of them was the Shliach, the halach is the get would be possible according to everybody. Because when one shliach brings a get, you have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. The Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing when two shlichim. The Tanakam holds that we still have to have somebody say b'fani nechtam, because we're concerned shem yachzadov l'kakuloi. Rabbi Yehuda holds that when two people say the get, we don't have, when two people bring a get, Rava's concern is certainly not an issue because we have two people. And Rav is concerned since they learned already the halacha of Lishma. And Rav is not concerned for Yem Yachzadov L'Kakula in a case where two people are bringing it because it's a Milsad L'Shlicha. According to Rav, if the two people bringing the get were Shlichim, there's no question that the get would be a good get. Because when two people bring a get, according to Rava, there's no need to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. The Mishnah is speaking about a case that the person who's speaking about the signature of the get was a shliach. According to Tanakama, he says, since he's a single shliach, you have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. According to Rabbi Yehuda, since we have two people who are able to testify about the ksiva, even though they are not the shlichim of this get, but since this is a unique situation, we have two people that could say testimony about the ksiva of the get. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says the get is good. If three people brought a get from Din Siyam, Echram b'fanei nechtam, v'shnayim b'faneinu nechtam, everybody says kosher, because since we had two people testifying about the signature of the get, once we have two people testifying about the signature of the get is certainly a good get, because it's a perfectly certified get. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah began that if the shliach deviated from what he's supposed to do, then didn't say b'fani nechtav, b'fani nechtav, the get is possible. Ask the Gemara, sulamali, why was the halacha needed to be stated? Hatanalei t'chad zimna. We began in the first parak by learning, Hamevi get medin sayoim, tzarech shem b'fani nechtam b'fani nechtam. Answers the Gemara, Imahi, if we only had that Mishnah, have a minute tzarech, that indeed it's appropriate that it should be said, but the Aloch is, Im loy amar, if he didn't say it, the Aloch is that it would be kosher. And as the Ritva explains, certainly according to Rava, that the concern is that we're worried that if somebody is going to make a complaint about the get, what will we do? So we don't have, if we didn't do it, so it's not a problem. And even according to Rava, that the concern is Lishma, Rava will agree it's not really a very strong concern because most people know Lishma. And therefore, if it wasn't recited, the get would be good. Tzorich, that you should say b'fani nechtam. However, Iloyomar, if it wasn't said, the get would be kosher. Kamash Malon, that it has to be said. You learned in the Mishnah b'fani nechtav chetzyoy, b'fani nechtam kuloy. The shliach says he only is able to say on part of the ksiva, but he's able to say on the entire chasima to get this puzzle. Ask the Gemara, when this shliach is testifying about part of the get, hay chetzya, which part of the get is he testifying? Ilema chetzya rishon. If, as we speak about a get, there are two parts of the words of a get. There's the typhus and the tarif. The typhus is the part of the get, which is the standard language written in all get, gitten. Tarif is what's unique to this get, the name of the husband, the name of the wife, the city, etc. Ask the Gemara v'amar Rabbi Elazar, I feel like Kosaba el shita achas l'shma. Rabbi Elazar teaches us that even if only one line of the get was written l'shma, shuvein et tzarech, we don't need any more. El amar Ravashi, it's referring to the chetzi achron. So we learn pshat the Gemara that the aid only said testimony about the typhus, the boilerplate language. But if he said testimony about the unique attributes of the get, that would be fine. Others say that Shita Rishayna doesn't mean the typhus versus the tariff, or the tariff versus the typhus. It means the first line. What does the first line mean? So they explain that if the first line was written properly, even though we don't have any testimony on the rest of the get, that's a proof that if it was started written properly, then the whole thing was done properly. And that's why I saw that the Tanya says that a person begins the day by saying Birchas HaShachar. A person begins the day by saying Alakai Neshama Shanasatabi. Says the Tanya, the concept behind saying those very important tefillas at the beginning of the day is the exact same concept that we're learning in our shir. The concept is that if you begin your day properly, if you begin your day by davening the way you're supposed to daven, by declaring what you're supposed to declare, even if the rest of the day different things come up during the day, it still won't affect your day because you started it on the proper foot. We learned in the Mishnah, if the shliach says b'fani nechtav kulay, b'fani nechtam chetzyoy pasul. Amar Rav Chisda says the Rav Chisda, if the shliach said b'fani nechtav kulay, b'fani nechtav chetzyoy, b'filo shneim me'idem achsinus yad ein disheni, says Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda addresses an obvious issue. The issue he addresses is that if the aid who says b'fani nechtam chetzyoy, so he's able to speak about half of the chesimus, but he's able, not because he saw that other witness signed the get, but he recognizes that other witness's signature, which, and then another person recognizes it. So we have two Edim recognizing a signature. And we know that when two Edim recognize a signature, that is a legitimate way of making a get, that is a legitimate way of making it into a legitimate get, says the legitimate certification, possible. It's still going to be possible. Why? My Tama, says the Gemara, new teretz. I became a get, I call it Kanas Chamim. We can't combine. If we want to do Kiyam, so we should do Kiyam. If we want to do Befani Nechtam, Befani Nechtam, we should do Befani Nechtam, Befani Nechtam. But we can't do a combination. Mask of Loi Rava. Says the Gemara, I don't understand what you're saying. Mi kamidi, dila mechad. If one person would have come in and said, b'farei nechtam, we're learning it's fine. Hashta dikatrei, and that's a special leniency that we're learning throughout a mesechta, that we can rely on one person. So now ask the Gemara, hashta dikatrei, now that we have two people, that makes it worse. Ela merava, says Rava, filu hu v'acher, that even if two people say about the second, he and somebody else say a second signature, we're not going to accept it, puzzle. Even though if he would have said it alone, we would have. But now, when he has somebody else joining him on the testimony of the second signature, it's not good, says the Gemara. My Tama, why? Answers the Gemara, if we're going to allow this, then we will have a problem whenever we try to be Mekayim Ishtar. What's happening here is, the first signature we're relying on the Shliach, statement of Befani Nechtam. The second signature, he's half of the testimony of the second signature. So he's 75%. Edus always requires that each aid should be 50%, as the pasuk says, "V'apishnei edim yakim davar." And here we're having 75% based on one person, and the halacha does not tolerate that. Maskala Ravashi, mikamidi the ilam maskala yehu lekulad bara. So Ravashi is still persistent and asks the question. If he would have said the entire statement b'fani nechtam, it would be kosher. Hashtik echad b'day, puzzle. How does the other person joining him make a problem? Elam Ravashi, afila mani eicheni. If the shliach says, I was the person, the first aid, I'm saying b'fani nechtam, and the second aid, I am the signature. The halacha is that the guest apostle, I b'kul b'kim aget, or we have to do it in a regular fashion of kiyum, meaning bringing witnesses to be able to testify on the signature. We cannot, say the Gemara, combine different ways of combining, we cannot combine different halachic approaches to make something acceptable. Tanan, and the Gemara asks a question. We learned in the Mishnah, the Shliach said, b'fani nechta kula. Ask the Gemara, what is the case of a Mishnah? How do we look at the second half of the second Shira? If we don't have anybody saying testimony, says the Gemara, we already learned in the Mishnah that if one says b'fani nechtav, b'fani nechtav. The high, one of them is speaking about the entire ksiva, the high is speaking about the kulach sima. It's still not good. So chetzya mebaya. So if one says, we only have one on the chesiva, and on the chesima, we don't even have a complete whole testifier, because he's only saying about half of the signature. Why would we think it's fine? Ela oika de Rava, says the Gemara, we have to explain the Gemara. We have to say that the Mishnah is coming to teach us all what Rava taught us, that if a shliach and eid echad say on the signature of one of the eidim on the get is possible, I could Rav Ashi to teach us that Rav Ashi's din, that if the shliach said, I am the one that signed, the get is possible. The fuki, the Rav Chizda. But to teach us, Rav Chizda din, that if two eidim are saying testimony on the second signature, and one said b'fani nechtam on the first signature, that is a bigger chiddush, because that should really be a good get. We have one signature being perfectly said b'fani nechtam, and the other one we have two other people that Rav Chizda said it's not good. That says the Gemara is too much a chiddush. Amar Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda says ul tameich. Says the Gemara according to what you say b'fani nechtam avolay b'fani nechtam. The Mishnah said that if the Mishnah began when somebody said b'fani nechtam, it's not good. Lomeli, why was it needed to be said? If we already learned the Mishnah that if somebody says b'fani nechtav kulay, b'fani nechtam chetzyoy, it's not good. So certainly if you didn't say anything about b'fani nechtam, it's not good. Ela loizu avzu ketani. The way to learn the Mishnah is the Mishnah is mentioning cases that even though they're not necessary to be mentioned, they're obvious, the Mishnah still goes out of the way to mention those cases. Hachinami, so that's the way to understand the Mishnah. Loizu avzu ketani. Every case in the Mishnah is there to teach us the basic halacha that the Mishnah is coming to teach us. And the Mishnah is not here, to teach us that Rav Chisda's din or Rava's din, and therefore my din, says the Gemara, says Rav Chisda, could still very much be accurate.